Hallo.
Hallo.
Hi, hi Stefan, hi Linda. Ich bin erkältet, deswegen werde ich mich etwas zurückhalten.
Okay, ich werde den Chat beobachten. Then we can start and switch to English for the recording. I think it will be a short meeting today because we have only 2 points. And if we have time, we can look at the redesign of the harvester if you wish. So, and let's start with the first point, the release notes. We are on the end from the Trillium release for the development, and so it's a good time to look over the release notes. And here you can find, oh, there's a new member. Hello. I'm not sure who you are. Ah, Jason. Hi. You have only attack, so I don't know who you are. So you are muted.
I'm not sure why my Zoom handle is the short, like just my email. I don't know what happened there. Okay.
Okay. So we have a short meeting today because we
Okay.
have only 2 points. So, and we started with the release notes for Trillium because we are ended the development for Trillium. So, and the next features will start with Umbrella Leaf. So here's the link to the release notes. That's all release notes from Trillium from all apps, and you have to scroll down to usage. And here you can find the different points that we are made for Trillium. The first thing is counter 5.1 support. We added the file formats for the manual upload, TSV, CSV, and the Excel file format. So that means you can upload these file formats in the manual upload form. So, and then we improved the design of the upload form. So we can take a look on this here. Upload counter reports. And then you see the redesign of the upload form. It's clearer. And you have a better overview of the different options. And this section here moved from the right side below the download, the upload form here. So, okay, and then we have an improvement of the exception handling when you're uploading files in the backend. We will check different points, and if there is a failure, then you get an feedback from the backend in the UI, and you see what's happened and then you can react on this failure directly, and you see more informations and can analyze these exceptions. Yeah, I think it was an requirement from different sides. So to have an option to analyze the errors when it occurs. And before we implemented this feature, you only had an toast at the bottom of the site, and then you have a cryptic JavaScript output, and you don't have the chance to analyze the error. So now you have a better overview of what happened. Okay, let's see. Dann, oh, hi Bernd. And then we also implemented the support for a new icon if you have entered here an edit reason and use this checkbox that you has been edited manually the report, then you have a new icon in the static list, the states list here. We can see if there is some thing like this. No, but it's a pencil. It's a green icon with a pencil, and now you can see what you have changed manually with one view on the stats table. Okay. Do you have questions to the upload? The next point is the exception handling. It's the first exception handling for the harvester, and we added a new icon for the COP code 3030. The new icon is an empty circle. So in the previous versions, you had a red icon with a cross, so but it's not really a failure because you have new usage data for the requested dates, so it is not an error. So you now have an green icon with an empty circle. So, and I think that was the requirement from all of you. And we also added the counter exception codes 2011, 3032, and 3063, but it's not implemented yet to react on these counter exception codes. This follows with the next folio releases when we start with the redesign of the harvester. So let's see. Ah, yeah, and we improved the report info when HTTP status codes occurs. That means if you have, for example, if you have added a wrong service URL, then you get an HTTP response from the server, and it is contained in the report info, the HTTP content. And now you have only a button that you can click. It's a detail HTML component, and then when you click on this button, then you can see the HTTP code if you want. But it's better to see what happened and not. It was a really large window when you had this arrow, and you had to scroll down to the button to close this window. So now you have only a little button in this content of the window, and then when you click, then you can see the HTTP code. So. Okay, let's see here. Can look at the issue. Did you have an example here? Yeah. So now you see this button, and when you click the button, then you see the arrows. So, but not by default. So, and then we added a new status to the usage data provider record. So let's see. It's a new field on the usage data provider record, where you can select two options, active or inactive, for the usage data provider record. And the use case was when you only have a non-counter reports from a usage data provider, then you would like to say, hey, it's an active provider. So, but in the versions before, you only had the option to set the harvesting status to inactive. Yeah, and but it's an active provider. So that was a problem for some institutions to manage their usage data provider. And now you have two status for an usage data provider, the provider status and the harvesting status. And there could be a problem with the combination of these two status. So in that, what we do is we check the combination of this status. So if you have an inactive provider status, you cannot have an active harvesting status. Yeah. And otherwise, then vis-a-vis. So, and we check this, and if you set a wrong status, you get an info, and where the usage application says, hey, here's a problem with the combination of the status, and give you an option to solve this problem. So let's see. It's this one. So here. It's this one. So if you change the status, yeah, then you see, okay, if you set the provider status to inactive, then and the harvesting status is active, then the system wants you, hey, your harvesting status is still active. Please change this, or you can set this here. And we also add an filter for the search. It's very simple. So I can look in the live system here, see this on the left side here. You can see the provider status. And so it's the default setting that you have the list of all active providers. Okay, that's this one. Are there any questions on for this point? Okay. the next integration is the month picker. So there was only an date picker in Folio for a date, but not for a month. So we created an stripes component so that you now can select only a month for a year. So you can find this for the harvest configuration, and when you export your statistics here, you see the calendar icon, and now you can click here on the icon, and then a calendar appears, and then you can select the months. And when you click on the months, then it takes over the right schema from your localization. I know there are some bugs now across Folio with the months picker. That's our next agenda item for today, and we have to look how it solve the all Folio development teams. So. Okay. And others, yeah, we change the order of the usage data provider L sections when you create an or editing an provider. We moved the section of the credentials from the end here below the part where you set the endpoint for the harvester. I think that's the right name for the section. Okay, maybe it's more a documentation issue to specify the sections here. So I would say it's the section where you set up the endpoint. So, and the next section is where you set up the credentials for the endpoint. So, and yeah, the reason why we did this is because in the next releases, we would like to add a feature where you can check your credentials inside the configuration. And so that you are sure that your service URL is correct and your credentials are correct. And after that, we can also add an integration that you can only select report types that the provider offers you. So, Bernd, your hand is raised.
Yeah, I have a question. This request on name and request like mail, these are not parameters that should occur in counter five or 5.1.
Yeah, but we have to support count of four.
Okay, so this doesn't change when you select a different counter version.
Yes.
Okay, the platform actually belongs to the base configuration for the usage data provider. This is not part of the credentials. So, yeah, actually for I don't have a recommendation how to improve this in the user interface, but just wanted to mention this because platform is often confusing. Because people think they have to enter something and then it breaks actually the requests.
Okay, then it could
Yeah,
be a
for the validator, actually, this is something you could think about when you add these features. You've mentioned that you would like to only offer the reports actually available and things like that. When you interact with the registry, you can actually should be able to see if the platform parameter is required or not.
Yeah. The provider lookup is a feature that we would like to implement in the next folio releases. That means you can click here on a button or a link for lookup, and then a search form appears, and you can search for a provider, and then you click on a provider, and it will get the data from, I think from a local database here in Folio, and set up the credentials and the configuration for the harvester directly. So, and the data comes from the counter registry. So, and it's not clear at this point how we fetch the data. So,
I would do it live, but I know that you prefer a different approach. You get more information than just the basic information. For example, you get also the information what of the credentials is required, whether there's an API key required or a requester ID or both. And that's very helpful information. The custom ID, of course, is always required. And if you want to look at an implementation, how this could be done, you could look at the counter validator, which does this. So if you use the validator, you will see that you can look up the usage data host, and that you get all this information in the form where it tells you, yes, you have to enter something here, or you should enter something here in this field. And that's really helpful.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we prepared here this form. So, and it's a local sequence when you enter the data. So you don't enter the data after you set up the report type. So it's better than that we have the credentials after the endpoint settings. So, okay. And the other features we have to discuss about this in the upcoming meetings. So, and it's all in draft. So, and we have to discuss about this. So, yeah. And the last point, of course, we add the new term counter API alongside sushi. But we also support counter four. So that means we have here a dash between counter and sushi. But here in the service type selection, you have a different terms for the accordingly for the different counter releases. So that's what I want to say. So, and here in the filters, you can also see the new term. So, and we removed the term sushi from different locations, I think. Yeah, here. In the overview, you only have now credentials, not sushi credentials. And also, if you editing an an usage data provider here in this placeholders, you don't have the term sushi anymore. So, okay. So, and let's do, okay, yeah. Now we have to do some platform requirements. So, and what is interesting for you, if you host Folio by your institution, then we are working on the logging process. It's requirement from the community because you have transactions codes on AWS for each transaction, And so the requirement was that you reduce the logging. Oh, I see. It's closed. Okay, our backend developer worked on this in the last days, so now it's ready for ransoms and so on. And okay, this one is open, but I know he's working on this part. Let's see in which release. Oh, in Umbrella Leaf. Okay, we don't have this in Trillium, but in Umbrella Leaf, we would like to implement the secret manager. It's important when you have multi-tenant systems and you don't want to restart your Folio installation when you only have to change the tenant username and tenant user password. So I'm not sure if someone here is that is host for you. Bernd, do you host for you in your institution or?
No, just local test systems.
Okay. Yeah, but okay, then maybe it's more important for GBV and BSC and HAPUS.
Well, it's in general, I think it's in general a good idea to store credentials in the secret manager. So, independent on whether this is a local hosted or in the cloud.
Yeah, because if you have multiple tenants, then you have to restart the system for all tenants. And that's not good because if you have 200 libraries and you have to change the credentials for one library, then you have to restart the system for all libraries. Okay. Yeah, that's the release notes for Trillium. Since Sunflower, we also create release digest for the YouTube channel from the Open Library Foundation. There is a YouTube channel. And each development team creates a release digest. It's more a video where you can see the different features that we created. And so when the release manager give us an release date for Trillium, then we can send him our video files, and he renders the videos for YouTube, and then you can see also the release digest on YouTube. And it's more a screencast where we present the features, and so you can see this all in the UI. But we don't create sprint records, so that's not our goal. So in the development team, maybe you can see this in the EBSCO teams, but we don't do this. Yeah, the month picker. So I'm not sure if here is somebody that use keyboards with Folio. Yeah, but there is a requirement that you can use Folio only with keyboard, with the keyboard. So, and you can do this when you use the tabulator to go through the different fields in the forms, and in the cross appsec, there was, I think, in the this day, or Yeah, today, what is it? A meeting where they talk about the different behavior of the different icons and functions when you use the keyboard. So let's give you an example. When you go to a calendar icon in the application users, you have to use the key enter and or space. And if you are in inventory, you use the space key. So and this different behavior isn't it the requirement from FOIO. So and we created the months picker now, and we gave the question to the cross app sig how we should implement the months picker for the keyboard users. And it's more a discussion for the cross app sig how the behavior should look like. So, and if it's clear, then we adapt this for our months picker, and then we have the same behavior like in the other apps. And another point is the paging. So it's better when I show you this in the UI. So when you click on the calendar, and now you would like to click here to the next window for the next years, then you use the arrows with the mouse. But if you use the keyboard, you cannot select the arrows. So, and that's the question for the cross app sig. Should it be possible to use the arrows with the keyboard or only use the drop down box here for the year? So, and if this is discussed, then we can implement the requirement from the cross app sig to have the same behavior like the other apps with their calendars. So, yeah. But it was not recognized from the other product owners that there is a different behavior across the apps. I think the calendar is several years old, and each development team implemented differently. So, okay. Okay, yeah. I think it's better when we talk about a vision for 2026. So, not the redesign of the harvester, but I talked with the backend developer, and he said, it's okay for me if you define the requirements in the group, then I look at this and I will make it. So and that's the reason why he don't attend he doesn't attend these meetings here. So yeah, Bernd, you have a question?
Yeah, I find that approach a bit difficult because there is a certain intention behind this diagram, how this was designed. And this is something I probably need to understand to actually make a recommendation how to improve that, because otherwise the result might be very different, and that could be difficult to implement. And so I think it would be helpful actually to talk to the developer about this, or at least to whoever designed this.
It's me, so
Okay. Okay, the question is whether we want to do that in this group. We don't have it to do it today, of course, or whether we do that in the separate meeting. I'm not really sure.
Not today. I
No.
think today it's better when we talk about what we would like to see here in this group in the next year, because it's the last meeting in this year. So, we have some implementer topics here. Here is one point, the S3 objects cloud storage. I'm not sure if it's good that we store counter reports in the S3 storage, because we have the plugin usage reports, and usage reports use the data from usage from the database. So, and when we add the S3 object cloud storage support, all data have to go through the S3 storage to usage reports plugin. So, and it could be a cost issue, because you have to pay for each transaction. So, and the requirement came from GBV, because they want to upgrade their system from Folio when there is a new release from Folio, and the database is very large for e-usage, because you have stored the counter reports in there. So, and they would like to have S3 storage to exclude the da counter data from Folio data. So, yeah, but it is possible to implement an option to use the S3 object cloud storage. But I'm not sure if it makes sense.
Yeah, my understanding was that they want to store the original reports in S3, but the extracted data has to be in the database for matching and other purposes. You can't do that in S3. So I'm not sure how would they do that with S3.
Yeah, that's the point.
You have to refer to specific data points. It might make more sense to actually store the data in a cloud database if you don't want to have it in a local database. That would make more sense to me because there are databases that are designed to handle this amount of data and to be efficient when extracting data. That could be an option so that it's not directly in the Folio database. But you cannot work with the data if the actual reports are stored in S3. I don't see how that should work.
Yeah.
So this is maybe this is something we should talk about with GBV.
And it's also a problem for the plugin.
Yeah,
So
of course, anything that has to do with further processing of the reports would be an issue if the reports would be stored in S3.
I think that's a good point for the next year, and I can make a meeting with Martina before we meet again to this point, for this point, and maybe she can talk more about this topic, and maybe she can also add more information to this page that we have for this topic.
Do we have some information how large these databases get in real life?
Ooh.
Because this could be hundreds of millions of data points, of course. And we have a database at the moment, I think about 150 gigabytes for the National Statistics Server. So you can see the dimension if you host a folio for multiple institutions, how large this gets and much of the data we have is actually compressed in the database. So we don't store the data in the original form, but we compress the data. And of course, not the extracted data, but that's just part of the reports.
That's also the reason why we exclude this for the reporting solutions. I discussed this with index data. Have MetaDB as a reporting solution, and they streamed all the data to their data warehouse solution, MetaDB, and does not make sense to stream all the data to a separate database. So, but and it's very nested, and processing time is very much so. And that's also the reason why you don't have the data in MetaDB now. So, but maybe I can also talk with index data that we have a solution where you get only the headers from the counter reports. But you see that that's you have different systems that you reuse the data from usage, and the plugin is one of them, and the reporting solution is another one. And later we have more solutions that want to use the data from usage. And now we should look how we could implement an interface for these applications. But at the moment, our first priority is the plugin for usage. So, and
Yeah, the same could be true for the OA app, because you might want to have the data ingest global reports and then do reporting on open access. That would be even worse because you would have to go down to the item level. I also thought about simply dropping the ingested data and ingesting it again after the update, but that would be extremely expensive to re-ingest all the reports. So that would be a trade-off. You have to probably have hours and hours of CPU time versus a larger database. So But I think it's a good approach to actually talk to GBV, Martina, and others, what they think would work for them, and how they see this just having the reports versus actually using the data from the reports. because if you don't use the plugin, for example, you might say, well, it's easy to store the data in another database, but as soon as you start using the data, then it becomes not impossible simply.
Yeah, that's right.
But
In Zeit, in
maybe using a different database could be a solution.
yeah, we in Leipzig we use a replication from the database. So
Yeah, but the database you get still have that large database.
yeah, that's right,
The
right.
question is whether the data has to be stored in the FolioPostgres database, or if it could be stored somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay. I think that could be a priority for the next year, alongside from the redesign. And yes, of course, the extend information from counter exception in the backend, and it's in the refinement status.
Yeah, I think that's quite clear what has to be done. I'm not sure if you need further input for that.
Oh yeah, it's a good point. We changed our how we use status in Folio in the development team. Draft means that we talk about the requirement here in the group. That means draft. And refinement means that we discuss this in the development team. So, and yeah, if there are some questions, we can change the status back to draft, and then
Yeah,
it
okay.
and after that we can change it back to a refinement. And open means it's clear what we have to do for development, and it's yeah, we gave points that are story points. Maybe you are familiar with the development, and then we see how much development cost it is, and then it's open for the development. But we have to see when we can yeah, get this in a sprint. But open means it's ready for development. And for this group, it's important to know if it's draft, we discuss this, and in refinement means it's for the development team discussion. So in refinement means we in the moment we're discussing this in the development group. So okay, and this point. So we had this in the development team, and we are not sure if it's where it's is it's necessary. So to have multiple Harvester accounts per provider. So
Yeah, I think this has to be more specific. You would like to have, my understanding at least, one account per release per usage data provider, not multiple accounts for the same release for a usage data provider. Because those are different things. Of course, might have different accounts depending on the release. Actually, that's quite rare in my experience, at least for Counter 5 and Counter 5.1. The other question is, there are report providers, publishers that have a usage reporting system that will give you multiple accounts for the same release. That's usually a bad sign because you will have trouble actually getting just a complete set of your usage reports without any duplication. And we, at least in the past, quite often got the request to be able to enter multiple accounts per release per usage data provider. in our platform. And we always refuse to do that. And I would actually advise against doing that. But the question whether you have one usage data provider per release so that you can enter credentials, or whether you have one usage data provider with credentials for multiple releases, that's just, I think, differs in how the data is organized. Of course, you have to create a more complex front end if you have the latter one. And in my opinion, it's not really necessary, but yeah, obviously there are other colleagues who have a different opinion on this.
Jason, what do you mean about multiple Arista accounts in one usage data provider? Could it help?
What do I mean?
Yeah.
I don't. Did I bring that up?
No.
Oh no. Okay. I didn't say anything about it. You just asking me what I think it means, or?
It's I would to know every meanings here from this
Yeah.
group. So, and do you think it makes sense to have this option?
No, I don't. I don't. I think I agree with Bernd on that. I can't think of a situation where that would make sense.
Linda and Heiko.
Yes, so if Bernd says it's usually a bad sign, so I trust him absolutely in this point.
Sorry, those are two different things. Well, are we talking now about having multiple accounts for the same release for a single usage data provider? That's a bad idea, in my opinion. That shouldn't happen. If that's necessary, you probably should consolidate your customer accounts with that for that provider, or let the provider do that. The other question is, you have multiple releases for one usage data provider. And then the question is, should that be in a single usage data provider? This is what this is about, in my understanding. Or is it okay that you have to create a second usage data provider for the same
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
provider, actually, but for a different release? So you have that twice in your list with different releases, for example, 5 and 5.1.
I would say, yeah, actually keeping them having two separate UDPs for per release, having separate UDPs per release would be helpful, I think. Yeah. Just for the sake of like knowing, you look at the display of like the reports that you've harvested, like anything before this date, like you wouldn't, I don't know if there's like overlap where they're offering both, and you wouldn't know if I'm looking at March, am I looking at 5.1 or am I looking at 5.0. You'd actually have to like download the report to see that. So I think having them separate, so you know everything on here is 5.1 and everything on here is 5.0, is
Yeah,
good.
that if you have put them in one usage data provider, that would require is an extensive redesign of the user interface.
Yeah.
And the question is it worth it if you can have two separate ones with the current user interface?
Yeah, I think it's fine to just have two separate. I mean, we also use Celis a little bit, and if you clone credentials, they call it, to make a 5.1, it shows up as a separate platform on your list of platforms. So that, which is what would be essentially the UDP in Folio. So I just think that is a lot clearer to the, and yeah, you would have to do something with the interface to really make it clear, like, these months have this release, these months have this release, and I don't think it's worth it to try to figure that out.
It depends on how you do this in the user interface. For in our platform, for the administration, it's separate. But when you create usage reports, then you have a simple drop-down where you can select the release. If that either you select that first, and then you can select the dates for which the reports are available, or you can do it the other way around and select a date, and you will only be offered what is available for that date. And I think that's a similar approach that could be taken here. You could do the administration, you could have separate ones, but when you get into the plugin and create a usage report or a statistic for the for a package, then I think it's already this way. You can select the release now, or maybe not. Not sure.
My
So the
first idea.
provider, that's maybe that's the difference. The provider is a separate object in our system, so we can actually have the administration with all the separate credentials. But the provider essentially is internally is the same. I think Salos works differently here.
Oh yeah, you know what? I was also just thinking if I had an agreement and I'm saying this is the usage provider, I would want it to stay. Yeah, so that's
Yeah,
a
so you would have to attach two for the different releases if you have multiple ones.
yeah, and I don't think you can.
I'm just asking myself what is for the usage reports plugin you would lose maybe cost per use because no.
No, you would have to be able. I'm not sure that probably that should work. That you can select more than one usage data provider that is associated with the agreement. This has to be possible
Oh, you know what? You're right. You're right.
because the provider might change the platform mid-year, and you have two different providers for the same year, and you have part of month in one and the other part in the other one. So that has to be possible anyway. But if you actually separate the different releases for the same platform, for the same usage data provider, you have to attach both to an agreement to get the usage data for both releases. So that's the drawback if you have separate usage data providers. Of course, you can't mix the data anyway, so you should decide which version you want to use. This actually you can mix some data from 5 and 5.1, but that's a bad idea in general.
That's a bad idea, but some institutions do that. So if you can
Well,
see here, this symbol,
the problem starts with the different definitions of some things like access types and metric types. So you can do that in some cases, but not in others. And if you do that in general, this will get you into trouble. Is that the actual intent that they want to attach a single data provider and then use the usage from two different releases for the same evaluation? Because that would be really tricky to implement.
We implement this additional column here because if you start with the release 5.1, maybe you have a mix of different releases. And so for the export, you can choose only by release. So you cannot mix the different releases.
Yeah, I would recommend to add an R5 or R5.1.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And
Not in the release column, of course, because you have the release information, but if you have this short name with the release in parentheses, I would suggest
yeah,
to add the
but it's more a question how we can implement this in the multi-columnist component. So you have this on different points, maybe also here by delete reports. Yeah, and then we can yeah, divide this here between the releases. So, and yeah, so it was easier to add a column here to the multi-column list component. And maybe you know
Yeah,
this
but
component
it's a
MCL.
bit confusing that you have this. If you could you open that again? That delete column? Because you have
You have release
two columns
five.
which are both called PR.
This is for 5.1, and this is for
Yeah,
5.1.
that's clear, but if you select the select boxes don't have that information. So that could get a bit confusing. That was, I assume, the one for release 5. And the other one below is for release 5.1. But they are both called PR. And if the upper one is between those, which could be a bit
Yeah.
confusing.
Okay. I think we are on the time, and we have a good discussion here for this one. And I think we should discuss more how we should improve this to handle multiple releases in usage. And we can talk about how we implement multiple harvester accounts, but if you say it doesn't make sense for you, then we can find a other solution for this and improve the user interface. And it's more an approach from Alma ex libris. So, but we can do an other solution for usage. So
The version you just have shown with this is the current version that I could
that's the current
deploy.
version.
Yeah, that's great. So I can actually do that and work with that and see how that feels. Okay, I will do that.
And of course, if you only have the release five, you only see five, and a normal use case is that you have maybe release five until March, and after that you have 5.1, and that's more clear. It's more a test data here in snapshot. So.
Well, actually, in my experience, there's always somebody asking for the full data R5 as long as it is available, which could be for several years to come. And R5.1, if it's available for the previous years, also. So we have always this long overlap in our system. We try to restrict it to 1 year that you can actually compare the data. For 1 year for the two different reports, but there are always users that like to use the old one or the new one, and so we probably end up with multiple releases for the same periods.
Okay. Yeah, it's we need a solution for different counter releases because the next release is in 4 years, and
The API probably also has changed to reflect that. Okay.
yes. So, and yeah, when you have counter 5.2, in 4 years you have more, and so we need a solution where you don't you cannot have seven usage data providers for one provider. So but if you say that's it's okay for us, then we can leave.
You won't, because you won't do any evaluation with multiple releases like that. So, but you still have the old data, of course. The problem is that this gets more confusing, the display, the more releases you put into one single usage data provider.
Yeah, that's clear.
Okay, so I think it would be helpful to discuss this with colleagues who have actually made that request, why they
Yeah.
think that this is necessary, or how important it is to them.
Yeah, the request comes from our institution to have the option to harvest counter reports over multiple releases, so in one usage data provider, so that you can set up the harvesting configuration, one harvester account for counter four, counter five, counter 5.1, and the following releases, and with different time period, and then you can click on start and you get all the counter reports from the different releases with one click. And yeah, but there are different approaches in the community. Someone uses different usage data provider, one provider per release, and the other ones use one provider and changed only the harvesting configuration. And so, and we need a solution to say, okay, and this is one solution and one approach. That you can set up multiple accounts, or you only set up one account. So, and with this solution, you can have also the option only to set up one usage data provider for one release and per release, and you also have the option to add another harvester account if you have the approach to use multiple releases for one usage data provider. So, but I think it's then we can add this also as a priority discussion for the next year. And okay, and if you have more requirements, you can always add this to the implementer topics from the ERM SIG. So yeah, I follow, I'm not sure, I'm not follow this side here from the ERM SIG with the implementers topics, if there are new ones. Let's see. So, and then we can also vote these Jira tickets when we have these ones. Okay, integrate provider list. We have. Okay, that's all requirements that we have. Oh, it can cancel. Okay, maybe in the past somewhere. So. And yeah. Okay, that's all requirements that we have for the next year.
Well, I think there are some regarding the plugin, but
Yeah, the plugin.
of course, that's where I would have more requirements than for the actual harvester.
Yeah, we have to differ between these
Yeah,
two
I know.
components, and Maybe we can also start in the next year to split the meetings so that we have a part for usage and another part for usage reports. I know we cannot add more requirements from the community to this project, but maybe we have reports from the group. From Hebes in the meetings, and I hope so. And so that we are up to date in the community, what happens in this project. And so I'm not sure when we can start with the reports from usage plugin, Linda or Heiko.
No, I'm not yet prepared to.
I think I have to check back with my other colleagues b before we can say a date.
Okay, good.
Yeah, maybe we could start with S3 discussion. I think that would make sense because if there has to be a change in how the data is stored, that would be quite disruptive, so you would really need time to implement that. But that probably would be, well, Trillium is the we have the feature freeze at the end of the year, if I remember correctly. So the earliest could be Umbrella Leaf, if
Yes.
that's even possible. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. When will we meet again?
Ah, yeah, it's a good question. So, I'm on vacation until January 9. So, and I think it's a good idea to meet. Oof.
Yeah, 4 weeks from now would be December 12th, January 12th, but that doesn't make much sense if that is your first day in office.
I think 1 more week, January 19th.
No, that's not possible for me. I have a counter meeting.
Okay, then January 26th.
Yeah, that would be
Yeah.
possible.
So then all are back from different vacations and then we can start with the discussion for the redesign of the harvester again. And yeah. So I create the invitation. For this date, so and so, yeah, yeah, 12 minutes
Yeah.
after the time. So I make it short. So I wish you a Merry Christmas and a good new year, starting the new year, and so we see you in January.
Thanks for the discussion. Bye bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.